From the Word of God, Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 30. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord, as you have said. And take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone. And bless me also." From chapter 13, beginning at verse 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. The children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones from here with you." So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. From chapter 14, beginning at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Throughout these three sermons from the life of Moses, we're concentrating on one idea. God is greater than any and all of our problems. And no matter how things appear, He is in charge and will provide for us because we are His people. You know the story. Moses is in the Midian desert. And the word of the Lord comes to him to go and deliver his people. And so he leaves the desert. He goes back into Egypt with clear orders. And he mounts a campaign against Pharaoh. And what Pharaoh did not accept until it was too late, he was not battling, he was not confronting with Moses. He was confronting with the Lord God Almighty. And as they're delivered and as they go out, God gives them a sign. Pillar of cloud goes before them by day. And as long as the cloud moves, they move. When the cloud stops, they stop. And then the pillar of fire by night where they camp. When the cloud moves, God advances His people. When the cloud stops, they camped and waited. Now, it's interesting that God does not lead them in a direct line. The Bible says specifically there was a short way to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. But to go that straight path, that short direct route, they would have had to go by the Philistines. And the Philistines would have raised war against them. And they would have become afraid and turned around and gone back to Egypt. So God is preparing them to display His power so that they can recognize and understand it's the Lord God Almighty who is in charge and who is guiding them. And God takes them south. And then south again. And then back north. And then west, back towards Egypt. And now the Israelites are hemmed in by mountains on one side, where there's a garrison of Egyptian soldiers. On the other side, by the Red Sea. And so they've got the mountains, the garrison, and the Red Sea. And they're hemmed in. And then panic strikes because they see a cloud of dust. And it's the army of Pharaoh coming. Pharaoh's let them go. He's been beaten down by 10 plagues. The last plague takes one person out of every household, the firstborn. One animal from every flock, the firstborn. And beaten down, he says, "Moses, that's enough. Take your people, get out of here." And after they're gone a little bit, he says, "What did I do? We don't have anybody to build our cities. We don't have anybody to make our bricks." And he chases after them. And the Hebrews are trapped in a cul-de-sac of impossibility. And mark it down, it is the Lord who has led them there. They didn't get there by just happen to wander around. It was by God's direction. They're where they are at this moment. And they're terrified because they're looking at human potential, not at God's power. They couldn't see what God was up to. And in 5 short days, they have forgotten the miracles, the signs that delivered them from Egypt. They have forgotten the plagues. They've forgotten the liberation of God's intervention. And they begin to complain. And they say to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt, no cemeteries to bury us back in Egypt, that you've led us out here where we're going to be overcome by the army of Pharaoh? It'd have been better to stay back there and serve them. Yes, we were slaves. Yes, we were oppressed, but we were alive. It would have been better to stay there than to die out here in the wilderness." And what Moses says to the people and what God says to them gives them five, and us, 5 basic things to do when we confront situations that we think are impossible. In Exodus 14, Moses said to this panic-gripped people, "Do not fear. Stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord. Keep still. And go forward. Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord, keep still, and go forward." Now let's take a few minutes to look at each one of those and to see God fighting while we keep silent. And remember Moses, the Lord says to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to go." So let's think of what God says to go with. First of all, the instruction is to fear not. And the only way to become free of fear is to know that God is with us. He's in charge of the impossibility. Not only that, God has arranged it for our growth and His glory. So often we blame people, we blame circumstances, sometimes we even blame ourselves and blast life for what's happening to us. But growth in grace happens when we recognize that nothing can happen to us without God's permission. And with that understanding, we can ask God for power and intervention in what He has either allowed or arranged. And when we surrender to fear, telling God how we feel, we allow faith to force out fear. Tell God, don't hesitate. Tell God, I'm afraid. I don't understand what you're doing with me, but I have confidence. I have trust. I know there's something greater than the fear that I feel. I know you're in control. And what you give or take away is done so that I might know you better. Secondly, God told the people, stand firm. The Hebrew literally means take your stand. And the tendency when we're afraid is to run off in all directions. Kind of like when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah appeared, and there was that great scene. And the text says, Peter being afraid, not knowing what to say, just starts talking. And so many times when we're afraid, that's what we do. We just run off in all directions. Stand firm. A time of fear is not the time to make moves and crucial decisions of which we have no confidence. Allow God to quiet you until you are sure of Him again. We need God's renewed perspective on the impossibility. Number three, see the salvation of the Lord. To see the salvation of the Lord is to look back and see what God has already done for us. To see that God has done what He promised He would do. And Moses is reminding the people of the spectacular things that God has done. And you remember those 10 plagues. Time after time, Egypt was assaulted with the plagues. And in the land of Goshen, where God's people were living, there were no plagues. There's lice in Egypt. There's darkness in Egypt. There's hail in Egypt. In Goshen, there's none of that. See the salvation of the Lord. Each miracle that God has performed in our lives is preparation for the moment when we need greater trust in what God is doing in our future. But like the Egyptians, we're so quick to forget. I'm so quick to forget. The people of Israel had surrendered peace for panic. They saw the seemingly impossible sea on one side, the mountain on another side, and the advancing army of Pharaoh approaching on the other. They look north, they look south, they look east, they look west. But they failed to look up to God and His faithfulness. God's done so much for us. We stand on this side of Calvary and the open tomb. And still there are times when we wonder if God can do anything. The only thing that can hurt us as Christians are those things that we refuse to turn over to God. So stand firm and see what He'll do for us, because we belong to Him through Jesus Christ. Number four, keep still. That comes from the awesome assurance that God will fight for us. Keep still while the Lord fights the battle. Stay where you are. Wait. Trust. Don't get in God's way. Now, there's a right time for confrontation, but only when God gives guidance and timing. The oncoming Egyptians, they're in a contest with God. They're not in a contest with Israel. They're in a contest with the Lord God Almighty. They're God's problem. So that God can display His triumphant adequacy for His people. There's a time to be silent. There's a time to be still. There's a time to listen. There's a time to observe what God is doing for us. So many of our lost battles are those times when we decide, well, God's not doing anything. I think I need to do something. And we take matters into our own hands and we look back and we say, boy, did I mess that up. It's only in silent listening that we can know the difference. There's a right time to move, but we only learn when the right time is by waiting in stillness. And the final word from this scripture is go forward. Moses looks at the advancing army and prays, and the Lord's response is startling. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to go forward. Which way, Lord? Forward. We're blocked on all sides. Forward is the Red Sea. God says forward. And He says to Moses, lift up your staff, stretch it out over the sea, and watch it divide. Watch the water pile up on the sides, watch the mud dry up, and then you and all of Israel go through and get to the other side. And I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, and he's going to see you escaping, and he's going to come down into that trench of water. And I'm going to soften the soil again, and I'm going to bring the waves back. And you're never going to see Pharaoh and his army ever again. And that protection, the cloud that guided them by day, and the fire pillar of fire that guided them and protected them by night, stands between them and the Egyptians. So that they can't see what's going on. And finally, when Israel is through, the pillar moves. Pharaoh sees they're escaping. He orders his army to follow. And all at once, those fast-moving chariots of the Egyptians, and I think there were 600 of them, begin to slow down because the dry land is muddy again. And then the water comes back. And when they're fully in the passage, God had told Moses, then stretch back your hand. Stretch back the rod and watch as the waters cover those that are chasing you. Cover those that would destroy you. Cover the problem that's pursuing you. Now the same God who did the impossible in opening the sea is the Lord who came and lived among us. Jesus Christ boldly uses the words, I am, when He declares who He was. God with us. And Calvary is the place where He parted the waters of death so that we could pass through to eternal life. All the power of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. And that same power is available to us through His abiding, ever-living, constant presence. We have more than a burning bush. We have more than the opening of a sea. We have more than any memory. We have an empty tomb. We have an empty cross. And we've been liberated from the bondage of sin, from guilt and self-doubt and condemnation through that cross, through that empty tomb, and the indwelling power of Pentecost. I love what the skeptics say. only 12 inches of water in the Red Sea. Well, good. I like that. Because if there's only 12 inches of water in the Red Sea, God drowns the entire army of Egypt, horses and men, in 12 inches of water. I like that. I'll take it. Stand up against the impossible. Stand up against the impossible. Heap up the things that have forced you into this cul-de-sac of impossibility, and then give back to God the circumstances, the situation, the disability, the inadequacy, whatever it makes you cry out impossible. Because God is with us. God is with you. God is with me. It's dawn. The night is past. Put the cross, put your rod in your impossible sea. And trust God that the waters are going to part. Amen.